The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to our deep dive. You know, if you've ever started a new job or maybe gotten that big promotion or even just inherited some huge, messy project, well, you know that feeling, right? That first month or so, just pure pressure, maybe a bit of panic.
Oh, absolutely. It's intense.
Well, today we're diving into what's pretty much the definitive guide for handling exactly that moment. Michael Watkins' classic, The First 90 Days.
Yeah, it's a foundational text, really. Yeah. And it tackles this this really universal problem. Transitions are incredibly stressful, and honestly, they often don't go well.
Mm.
Watkins points out something critical. He says the high rate of, let's say, leadership failure early on, it's usually not about talent or intelligence. It's more often about a lack of process.
Okay. So people treat it like just something that happens to them.
Exactly. This chaotic thing you just have to survive instead of, you know, a system you can actually manage.
And that's the core idea, isn't it? Watkins argues those first 90 days are just make or break. They basically set the trajectory. You either build momentum for long-term success or, well...
Or you spend the next year just trying to dig yourself out of a hole from a bad start.
Yeah.
The book offers a structure, a kind of blueprint to replace that anxiety.
I like that. A blueprint, not just anxiety.
And it gives you a really concrete goal, too. It's not just about, you know, getting up to speed. The real objective is to hit the break-even point as fast as possible.
Break-even point. Okay, what does that mean exactly?
It's that moment when the value you're actually contributing finally starts to outweigh the resources, the time, the training, the support that the organization has poured into you.
Ah, I see. So it forces you to think about your impact in almost financial terms.
Pretty much your personal impact timeline.
Yeah.
And thinking about it that way, that can be a real game changer.
Interesting. So who's the person who kind of cracked the code on this high stakes career moment? Yeah. Let's talk a bit about Michael Watkins himself.
Well, Watkins brings this incredible credibility, mainly because he operates right at that intersection,
wow,
you know, between serious academic work and really practical hands-on advice for executives.
Right. He's a professor of leadership and organizational change at IMD Business School now, but he's been at Harvard Business School, Harvard Kennedy School.
Exactly. Top-tier academic background.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the other side. He co-founded Genesis Advisors.
And that's key, right? Because it means he wasn't just theorizing.
Not at all. He spent decades actually doing it, consulting, guiding, you know, hundreds of executives across the globe through these massive transitions. Real people, real problems.
Because he saw the pattern.
He saw the patterns, yeah. And that real-world feedback loop let him take what everyone sort of thought was an art, you know, new leaders just figuring it out somehow, and turn it into something more like a science, a repeatable process.
He basically codified it, synthesized what the successful ones did in those first 3 months.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it into a step-by-step framework.
Okay, so let's look at that framework. What's the big picture? It sounds like it's really a practical guidebook.
It is very practical.
Yeah.
And it's designed for anyone stepping into a new leadership role. Doesn't matter if you're C-suite or, you know, just leading a small team for the first time.
It's about taking control, being the architect of your transition, not just reacting.
Precisely. It lays out this logical journey, moving from preparation before you even start, through early assessment, then developing your strategy, building relationships, and finally really accelerating your performance.
And there's a big warning sign flashing throughout, isn't there, about relying on old habits?
Oh, huge. That's maybe the biggest trap.
Right.
What made you successful in your last job? That's often the exact thing that will trip you up in the new one.
Because the context is different.
Completely different. So the whole book is geared towards rapid adaptation, using things like situational diagnoses, assessing your team, avoiding those classic early mistakes.
Okay, so where does it start? You're in the new role, or maybe just about to start.
Yeah.
What's the first hurdle?
Well, Watkins tackles the mental and emotional shifts right up front. Chapters 1 and 2 are all about that internal work.
The mental shifts.
Yeah, the first one he calls promote yourself.
Yeah.
And it sounds simple, but it's about consciously letting go of your old professional identity.
Letting go? How so?
Well, say you're promoted from being a SAR technical expert, or maybe a really great individual contributor. Your instinct is probably to keep doing that stuff, right? To dive in, fix things, maybe even micromanage a bit.
Because that's what got you noticed.
Exactly. But in the new role, You have to resist that. You have to shed that doer identity. Your job now is strategy, it's delegation, it's leading the team, not doing their work for them.
That sounds difficult.
Yeah.
Psychologically tough.
It really is, because the very skills that earned you the promotion, maybe deep expertise or that meticulous focus, often become the things you now need to let go of, or at least delegate effectively.
Right.
If you can't make that leap from specialist to generalist, you just become a bottleneck.
Okay, so you manage that mental shift. What's next?
Then you immediately have to accelerate your learning. And it means accelerate. It's not passive absorption. You need a plan. A systematic, almost aggressive learning agenda.
So not just reading the company handbook.
Definitely not just that.
Yeah.
It's about actively gathering intel across like four key dimensions all at once.
Four dimensions, okay.
Yeah, the technical side, you know, the nuts and bolts of the business, then the cultural side, the unwritten rules, how things really get done. Third is the political landscape formal org chart, but also the informal influence networks. And fourth, the overarching strategy of the organization.
Wow, okay. That's a lot to learn simultaneously.
It is, and you need structured conversations, asking smart questions about the past, why were certain decisions made,
exactly.
The present, what are the biggest challenges right now,
yeah.
And the future, where is this place heading? Talk to people at all levels.
That proactive learning sets you up for the next big piece, which sounds crucial. Diagnosis.
Absolutely critical. Before you decide what to do, you have to figure out what kind of situation you've actually walked into. That's chapter 3, and the core tool is the STARS framework.
STARS. And misdiagnosing, that's a major failure point.
Fatal, often. Leaders default to what they know, right? Someone who's great at turnarounds might see problems needing drastic cuts everywhere, even if it's actually a stable situation needing refinement.
Makes sense. So what are the STARS archetypes?
Okay, so S is for startup. Imagine inheriting something brand new, or maybe just total chaos. There's no real structure. Your focus isn't optimizing, it's just building the basics, capabilities, processes, getting the first resources in place.
Right, startup, got it. What's T?
T is for turnaround. This is the classic crisis scenario. The unit is failing, maybe bleeding money, you need swift, decisive action, tough calls, probable cost cutting, laser focus on survival, and getting some quick, visible wins.
Right, firefighting mode, then R.
R is realignment. This one's tricky, subtler. The team or unit isn't actually failing, but maybe it's drifting. Complacent, inefficient. It needs a change in direction, but not a full-blown crisis response. Your catalyst, redefining the mission, but carefully.
Interesting. Okay, and the final S.
The second S stands for sustaining success. This is when you take over a high-performing team or business. It's already humming along. The big danger here is messing it up.
Huh. Right. Don't break what works.
Exactly. Your job is to preserve that momentum, find smart ways to make it even better, but incrementally. Be a good steward, but also find space for careful innovation. Each of these situations demands a totally different leadership style and set of priorities.
That framework seems incredibly useful just for orienting yourself. So you've diagnosed the situation. What about the people, particularly your new boss?
Yes. The book is crystal clear on this. Managing your relationship with your direct boss is probably the single most critical factor for success.
More important than anything else.
Watkins argues it often is, yeah. And crucially, you need to manage upward proactively. Don't just wait for them to tell you what they want.
How do you do that proactively?
Through what he calls the 5 crucial conversations. And these aren't just casual chats. They need structure.
Okay, 5 conversations. What are they?
First, a line of the diagnosis. Does your boss agree with your STARS assessment? Are you both seeing a turnaround? Or does one think it's sustaining success? You have to be on the same page there.
Makes sense. Second.
Second, clarify expectations. How specifically will your success be measured? What does good look like in 30, 60, 90 days? Get concrete metrics. Sounds basic, but fuzzy expectations sink people all the time.
Definitely. Number 3.
Third, define the communication style. How often should you meet? What format? Email, call, face-to-face? What level of detail do they want? Nail down the logistics.
Okay. 4.
Fourth, negotiate the resources you need to succeed based on that agreed upon diagnosis and expectations. Don't assume they'll just appear.
Good point. And the 5th conversation.
5th is about personal development. What support do you need from your boss to grow into this role? It shows foresight and commitment. You're essentially negotiating the terms of your success right at the start.
If you skip these, you're flying blind.
Pretty much leaving it entirely to chance. And having those conversations gives you the foundation, the buy-in you need for the next step. securing early wins.
Early wins, why are they so important?
Because they build credibility. They generate momentum. They earn you the political capital you'll absolutely need later for the bigger, tougher, more strategic changes.
And what counts as an early win?
It has to be tangible, something visible, meaningful, and critically valued by key stakeholders, especially your boss. It can't just be busy work that you think is important. These wins change perceptions and make people more willing to support your larger agenda down the road.
Okay, so you're managing up, getting early wins. What about managing your actual team, the people who report to you?
All right, Chapter 7 tackles this, and the big advice is caution. Resist the urge new leaders often feel to make sweeping personnel changes right away.
Don't come in like a wrecking ball.
Exactly. Instead, focus on a systematic evaluation over those first 90 days. Assess your people based on three key things. Competence, can they actually do the job needed now? Judgment, do they make sound decisions? And character, are they trustworthy and aligned with the values?
So understand who you have before deciding who you need.
Precisely. Understand their history, their potential, then make informed decisions based on the strategy you've set after your diagnosis.
And beyond your direct reports, there's the wider organization, the politics.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. Formal authority, your title, it only gets you so far. Real success, especially for bigger changes, relies on influence, on networks. So you have to create coalitions.
How do you approach that?
Watkins suggests mapping the political terrain. Figure out who are your likely supporters, who are your clear opponents. And most importantly, identify the group in the middle, the convincibles.
The undecided voters, basically.
Kind of, yeah. And that's where you should focus most of your energy, strategically winning over those convincibles. That's how you build the alliance you need to really drive change and make it stick.
Okay, we've covered a lot of the practical steps. If we zoom out a bit, what are the big overarching themes or messages that really stand out from the book?
I'd say there are three really powerful ones. First is situational leadership. This comes back to the STARS model. The core message is you must act like a doctor. Diagnose the specific situation thoroughly before you prescribe any kind of strategy or action plan.
Right. No one-size-fits-all solutions.
Absolutely not. Trying to apply, say, a turnaround playbook to a sustaining success situation is just disastrous. You have to adapt your approach to the context you find.
That makes a lot of sense. What's the second theme?
The second one, which I find really insightful, is thinking of momentum as a strategic asset. It's not just a nice feeling like things are going well.
It's more tangible than that.
Much more. Those early wins we talked about, they literally create a resource. They change how people see you. They attract more support. They build your credibility, which then allows you to tackle the harder, slower, more complex problems later on. It actually reduces the political cost of future changes.
Huh. Momentum is a resource. I like that framing. And the third theme.
The third one is about personal balance and sustainability. It's easy to forget this in the intensity of a new role.
Yeah, the pressure of those first 90 days must be immense.
It is, and it can lead straight to burnout or isolation. So Watkins stresses the need to proactively manage your own energy, set boundaries, and critically, find advisors or coaches outside the organization's political bubble. People you can talk to honestly who aren't caught up in the internal dynamics.
Get an objective perspective. Maintain your own well-being.
Exactly. You can't be effective if you're running on empty or feeling totally alone.
The book is packed with these really sharp, memorable lines too, isn't it? Almost like little rules to live by during a transition.
Oh, definitely. Very quotable.
I think the one that really sums up the whole purpose is, by failing to accelerate your transition, you leave it to chance whether you will succeed or fail in your new role.
That just cuts through any excuses, doesn't it? It puts the responsibility squarely on the leader to be proactive, to use a system.
Yeah. And another one that hits that adaptation point hard is, it's a mistake to believe that you will be successful in your new job by continuing to do what you did in your previous job, only more so.
That's the unlearning piece. You have to consciously break those old habits that won't serve you anymore.
And one more, really emphasizing that speed, especially around getting information. You need to climb the learning curve as fast as you can. The faster you learn, the more quickly you will make good things happen.
It makes learning itself an urgent strategic task, not just something passive.
So how does this translate into the real world? How can people listening apply these ideas right now?
Well, for individual leaders, it's incredibly direct. The book's structure basically is your 90-day checklist. You can literally work through it chapter by chapter, starting even before day one.
And it's especially relevant for internal promotions, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. If you're promoted from within, you have that extra challenge of changing how your former peers see you. You really need to focus on that promote yourself mental shift, signaling that your role and responsibilities are different now. You're not just one of the team anymore in the same way.
What about for organizations like HR departments or companies as a whole?
Huge potential there. Companies can use this framework to build much more effective onboarding programs. Imagine standardizing those five crucial conversations for every new leader hire, or explicitly defining what constitutes an early win as part of the onboarding goals.
It moves it from being this kind of inconsistent sink or swim experience
to a structured, repeatable process that actually sets people up for success. It's about building transition capability into the organization itself.
So the ultimate shift is away from just hoping for the best.
Exactly. It replaces that passive, often terrifying, hope it works out mindset with a proactive, disciplined approach. It empowers the leader. It says, you are the architect of this transition. You can design your success.
When you think back on the book, what's the one thing that really stood out to you or maybe surprised you?
For me, honestly, it's the relentless focus on diagnosis first. That STARS framework.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious in retrospect, but the temptation when you start something new is always to jump in and start doing.
Yeah, you want to make your mark immediately. Show initiative.
Right. Come in guns blazing with solutions you used last time. But Watkins forces that pause. Diagnose.
Yeah.
Understand the specific reality of this situation, then tailor your strategy. That discipline, I think, is profoundly valuable.
That discipline, yeah. And for you, what's the big lasting insight we should take away?
I think it's that transition management isn't just a nice-to-have personal skill. It's actually a distinct, learnable, and importantly, scalable organizational capability.
Scalable? How so?
Well, if a company systematically teaches and supports these principles, helps its leaders move from treating transitions as an art to more of a science, that company gains a real, sustainable, competitive advantage. They get better leaders faster. They waste less time and resources on failed transitions. It's a paradigm shift, really.
Moving it from individual luck to organizational strength. That is a powerful idea. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accatra Foundation.